This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an outdoor gallery adventure along a major public art corridor or a stage drama that blows the lid on family secrets, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm Diane Mack. You'll see big changes next week along Poitras Street. Five new works are heading to the Poitras Corridor Sculpture Exhibition. The South's leading rotating public art sculpture exhibit is a public-private partnership between the Hellis Foundation, the Ogden Museum of Southern Art, Sculpture for New Orleans, and the City of New Orleans Department of Parks and Parkways. William Andrews is the executive director of the Ogden Museum of Southern Art. He joins us with details of this exciting adventure. William, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you so much.
The addition of new sculptures sparked joy among visitors to the Poitras Corridor. What's it going to be like next week when you start the installations?
These sculptures are big. You know, they're monumental outdoor sculptures. They have an incredible presence, but they also have physical properties, and they have a height, width, and depth, and certainly weight. So they take big machinery, you know, most of the time, if not all of the time, to get them into the appropriate place. And then there's some construction that takes place beforehand on the pads, and then some lighting that needs to be installed and changed afterward. So I'm getting around to the point that it requires lane closure on Poitras, which is maybe not the easiest thing, but we're so happy to be in a city that values the presence of these sculptures and is willing to help us out through parks and parkways and pulling in other agencies to make sure that everything is safe and secure during installation.
So take us on this journey. Who are the new artists and what works will we see in this new fall installation?
Well, this is exciting because there are five new artists coming in, and we will see a large geographic dispersal of these artists, although a lot of them do have some connectivity to the American South. Probably one of the most notable figures that will be included this time is the artist Linda Benglis. And Linda is originally from Lake Charles, Louisiana. She has been, since the 70s, a certainly powerful figure in the art world, the international art world, and like many prominent artists, she made the mecca to the center of the art world, which is New York City, and has lived and worked there for many years. And the piece that is being installed is called Power Tower. It's an extraordinary sculpture that has a really highly polished sort of bronze to golden finish. It's evocative of a giant spiral of carved clay. If you're used to working with clay and you know and you drag a tool along it, it has the tendency to sort of curlicue off the surface as you sculpt it or reduce it. And I've heard two interesting things. One is that the artist worked on a series of ceramic sculptures based on a similar form and wanted to take that very simple organic spiral form and then create something very large and monumental out of it. And our curator of the collection at Ogden Museum, Bradley Sumrall, was telling me they also reference something that's commonly called here in the South road gaiters, which are the remnants of tires that have, you know, blown out of big rigs, yes, or trucks on the highway, and you see them strewn everywhere. That is going to be right across from Homewood Suites on Poitras Corridor. New to the corridor is an emerging artist to a degree, Kennedy Yanko. She is a painter and sculptor based in Brooklyn. Her piece is called Three Ways, and it was created in 2019, and it's a mixture of stainless steel, bronze, urethane, and enamel. It's her first piece of public commission. That piece is across from Civil District Court, right after Loyola Avenue, and it's more towards Claiborne. A lot of her work is done with found object, and we'll see in the American South particularly and in the history of art, found objects have a lot of meaning because they're typically can be considered discarded, and then an artist will come across them and find some reason to use them or find a new narrative in the work. And that makes me think of Lonnie Holly.
Yes.
Lonnie is one of the most well-known and prominent American artists today who is actually a self-taught artist and originally created an outdoor environment in his hometown of Birmingham, Alabama. He used these found objects and discarded materials from society to create this beautiful assemblage that was literally covered in acres of property that he lived on. And then as his career moved forward, he found a voice with music and film very lately. He's a very interesting artist in that without a real powerful intent or plan, he has become, you know, a master of many media. So one of the types of works Lonnie is well known for is lyrically drawn figurative works. And usually the portrait of the human face and body is something that he's drawn to, but in its outline or silhouette form, because he has typically made these out of wire in the past. And we thought this would be a really wonderful thing to see in larger scale on the Porter's Quarter. So he began using the outline silhouette form, but cut in carbon steel. It's a monumental expression. And this steel, if you can imagine, there's two plates on an axis that kind of make like an X form from the base up to the top. And they're very planar. And as he's cut the shapes of the silhouettes out, there's some that are on the outside edge and then some are cut within the inside, creating a positive and negative relationship of these faces sort of buried within faces. And so that gave Lonnie the idea about this narrative of generations of people becoming people, becoming people. Lonnie's an African-American artist. A lot of his narrative has to do with the African-American experience and, of course, the American South. That's long and storied. And he's able to sort of create these ideas and images that give you a launching point to think about who we are and where we're going as a community of people. And the title is Headed to the Land We Were Promised, Glory. Lonnie's piece will be on Poitras and Camp. The next artist I want to share is Phil Proctor. I came to meet Phil because he was helping Lonnie fabricate his work. Because you can imagine, Lonnie's piece is 17 feet tall. And it weighs, I think, about 8,000 pounds.
My goodness.
It's big. So it takes a large space to do this. Phil's figurative form, the guide, would also be a tremendous addition to the corridor. And it's a very contemporary take on a classical Greek form. It's constructed out of steel I-beams. And it looks, you know, something more like a futuristic monument to classical antiquity. The guide is holding a lighted staff that is 13 feet long, that's illuminated from within. It's a beautifully engineered acrylic tube, and it's lit through solar power, which I thought was really intriguing.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it is cool. When you look at it, you think of this futuristic, almost automated robotic form, but it also makes you think, because of its classical Greek pose, of something like Zeus and his lightning bolts. Phil lives and works in Atlanta. He graduated with a fine arts degree from the University of Southern Mississippi, actually, in sculpture. The guide will be right across from the Hancock Whitney building and close to what used to be called One Shell Square. Another interesting artist is Earl Dismuke. He's from Oxford, Mississippi. His work is also an assemblage of found objects. They're these discarded pieces of probably iron and welded to make a form. Earl's is abstract. The title's Dingbat. That was his nickname in his family. And this really peculiar sort of form, which once you know what the name is, it kind of looks like it's a little, a gremlin or an automaton or something, like it has its own personality. He's using these materials to sort of share, you know, an expression or a history or something, whether it's an emotion or a time or a period or a place that has to do with his growing up in rural Mississippi. That will also be on Camp Street. It'll be across from Lonnie Holly. So those are going to sort of speak to each other in the public forum.
What does all of this say about our city and our arts community?
We have a lot of elements that make New Orleans absolutely distinguished as a place with its own original unique culture and also a place that's willing to speak to the treasury of world culture. And I always liken it to saying in the United States, we have the very accepted art centers of New York and Los Angeles. And I think New Orleans is the third point on that triangle, and that the Porges Corridor Sculpture Exhibition and this great partnership has really helped us get there.
William Andrews, Executive Director of the Ogden Museum of Southern Art. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
The Foundation and the Ogden Museum of Southern Art will celebrate the installation of five new works along the Porges Corridor Sculpture Exhibition with an artist meet and greet, followed by a concert by artist and musician Lonnie Holly on Tuesday, September 24th at the Ogden Museum, 925 Camp Street, beginning at 5 p.m. It is free and open to the public. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Family secrets are exposed as Tracy Letts' 2008 Tony Award and Pulitzer Prize-winning play, August, Osage County, opens the season for Southern Rep Theater with a tour de force ensemble cast. Artistic director Amy Hayes returns to the stage following a three-year hiatus. She joins us with acclaimed actor Lance Nichols. Welcome.
Hey, Diane.
Thanks for having us.
Congrats on your 33rd season. You have quite a lineup, beginning with the smash hit August, Osage County. But let's jump ahead. Give us a sneak peek on the rest of the season.
We have such a powerhouse season of comedy, musical, The Return of Mandatory Merriment, the Christmas musical, not to be missed. We also have a great comedy coming up, Native Gardens. In the spring, we've got Entezake Shange's adaptation of Mother Courage and Her Children, which no one has been given the rights to do this play since it was first done in the early 80s. And then we have Reykjavik, this incredible fable story that takes place in Iceland, followed by Shemenda Bayou by local writer Pamela Davis Noland, which is sort of a jazz fest, festival meets Mardi Gras meets All Your Dreams Come True.
That is quite a season. Tell me, what attracted you to August, Osage County, and how did you land this blockbuster?
Well, Jason Kirkpatrick, who directed me in Streetcar and Stage Kiss, is from Oklahoma, where the play is set. This play is in his DNA, and when it first came out, we wanted to do it, but our space at the old Canal Place was too short, and it requires a three-story set. So in the new space, as soon as I saw the specs 2 years ago, I said, Jason, I think we can do the play finally. And sure enough, here we are.
And this is the one that made you come back to the stage?
Yeah, when he first talked about it in 2009, he was like, and you have to play Barb. And I was like, I don't know. It's a really challenging role. It's very funny, and she's very bitter, and it's a tough place to live, and she's a wildcat. So it's got all of these aspects, which are pretty intense.
And Lance, you have been crazy busy with a new series, Arsinoe, currently running on Amazon Prime. Why did you want to play a role in this production at Southern Rep?
Ever since I saw Amy in Streetcar, I said, okay, I have her on my bucket list of people that I want to be on stage with. And back in May, Jason Kirkpatrick, the director that she's talking about, he called me and said, hey, man, I'm directing this show at Southern Rep, and there's a role in it I think you'd be great for. And you'd be playing Amy's husband. I'm like, I'm in. It was that simple. It's a great play.
Family gatherings can bring out the best and the worst in us. And the Weston family in August, Osage County, takes us on an emotional roller coaster ride. Tell us about this Midwestern family. What's the storyline?
The father disappears, and so all of the daughters have to come home, the Weston sisters, and contend with their mother, who has, let's say, some addiction issues, which make her maybe the toughest matriarch on stage you've ever seen in your life. You will love her and be terrified and maybe have flashbacks of your own greatest and worst family functions and dinners.
Is this based on a true story?
Yes, it actually is. The playwright Tracy Letts had a very fraught family life, let's say, and there is very much in this play that resonates with the true people in his life. It's not just about this town of Pawhuska and this particular family. The greater theme of the play is that these stories are being played out in America. And why do we have these challenges with addictions and cross purposes? And why is it so difficult to love the people we're related to? And why do we love the people we're related to? The play just digs into all of those sort of juicy issues about family with a capital F. It's a tough thing.
Give us a little bit more insight into your characters. Lance, who do you play?
I play Bill, Barbara's husband. They met back in college. They have a 14-year-old daughter who has some issues, typical teenager. They come back. Bill comes back with her when the father disappears and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. And they've been together for 23 years. And they also left mom's town because you sort of get the idea that maybe it was too much. And maybe as soon as he got an opportunity to teach somewhere else very far away, they just got in the car and left. And so it's all of that sort of thing, too, about who takes care of parents, who stays to take care of parents, and how does that affect the relationships that family have with their own relationships, husbands and wives, et cetera, and their children. And are you going to do the same thing to your kids that your mother did to you or your father did? Those generational conflicts are really rich and deep in this play.
For me, I think it's also about how some things on the surface appear like they're real put together. But every family has secrets and lies. And eventually those secrets and lies come forth.
Is there a scene you can share with us?
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
I think there's a scene from Act Two that's a lot of fun and gives you a sense of Bill and Barbara, how they've learned how to fight after 23 years. Be a father. Help me.
I am her father, damn it.
Her father in absentia. Her father in name only.
I have not forsook my responsibilities.
It's forsaken, big shot.
Actually, forsook is also an acceptable usage.
Oh, forsook you and the horse you rode in on.
Oh, so we need to fight on your terms then? On topic one moment and whimsical insults the next, all of it when it suits you.
We covered this around year three, Bill. You're the master of space and time, and I'm a spastic Pomeranian.
That's not fair.
I'm sick of being fair. I've seen where being fair gets me. I'm sick of the whole notion of the enduring female. Grow up. Because while you're having your fifth puberty, the world is falling apart and I can't handle it. More importantly, your kid can't handle it.
Our kid is trying to deal with this damn madhouse that you dragged her into.
This madhouse is my home.
Think about that statement for a second, won't you?
Jean is here with me because this is a family event.
Jean's here with you because she's the buffer between you and the shrill insanity of your mother.
You know, you'd have a lot more credibility if you had any credibility.
You can't resist, can't you?
You're a pretty easy mark.
This family has its share of challenges.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there are some elements of humor along the way.
It's a laugh riot in between the ouch, ouch. Oh, wow. Did they really just do that to each other? Did they really say that? You don't know whether to laugh or cry at moments.
Tell us about the cast.
Ellen Barry is playing the matriarch. We have an eclectic group of people you haven't seen on stage in a long time. Mandy Zirkenbach, Nick Thompson, Lara Grice, and then new folks, Ilionette Bernabelle, Raina Houston, Robert LaRiviere, Jenny Mersine, John Neisler is back with us, Troy Poplis, Thomas Francis Murphy. It's a fantastic group of people.
And the set.
David Raphael, y'all. He has created a three-story house. The design is pretty spectacular on this. Josh Courtney and Brendan Connolly, lighting design and sound composer respectively, have built this atmospheric, expressive world that is profound. And Brendan's music is original music composed especially for this. It just all complements what David's world is that he's created here.
Whoever comes to see this show will either see themselves or someone that they know.
Artistic director Amy Hayes and actor Lance Nichols, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much, Diane.
Southern Rep Theater presents the regional premiere of Tracy Letts' Tony Award and Pulitzer Prize-winning play, August, Osage County. Performances are running now through October 6th at 2541 Bayou Road. More info is online at southernrep.com. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Additional support comes from the Petit Theater. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack. Underwriting programming on WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio, is a great way to support the station. And it's also a very effective way to reach informed, civic-minded, and educated adults in the New Orleans region with information about your business, service, or organization. Find out how WWNO 89.9 FM can help grow your business by emailing underwriting at WWNO.org.